Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the March 19th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Villa Grove City Council. City spruces up for warm weather. Public Works Director Mark McSell told the Villa Grove City Council Monday, March 10th that the Rotary Club had been working on Harrison Park cleanup and restoration, with the club graciously preparing for picnic tables for the pavilion. He said there would be a painting date in the future depending on weather, so an exact date couldn't be set at this time. He also noted that he was in the process of receiving bids for new roofs for the pavilions, restrooms, and salt shed, and he was also receiving bids for concrete sidewalk pours. He stated that he and his crew had recently cleaned up the ball field at Henson Park, removing several yards of leaves from the dugout alone. He then noted that there were four trees quoted out for removal in the coming months and that two street poles were to be installed. Finally, he continued to do daily road checks and that the new meter for the splash pad will be installed by the end of the week, weather permitting. At Alderman Tony Hooker's request, he said that he would investigate the large item laying close to the road on East Harrison Street. Safety Director Robert Ree then made his report, stating that summer rec signups had gone extremely well, with Villa Grove fielding four Little League teams, three T-ball squads, and nine soccer teams. He also reported that he'd been preparing the fields for practice, time, and games, and that the city would be hosting 40 games this season. He also mentioned that our house would be hosting an event, that a crafts fair was in the works. Engineer Jake Wolf was on hand to discuss the bids received for the parking lot paving project at the Community Rec Center, with Mid-Illinois Excavation submitting the winning bid of $1,019,000. Wolf stated that with adjustments, his goal was to bring the project in at under $900,000. Next, the mayor opened sealed bids for the East Harrison Street property that was for the sale, and Doug Grusing's bid of $17,500 was accepted. Administrator Jackie Athey noted that she could find no evidence of an existing mobile home ordinance and that she would collaborate with attorneys to prepare one for the council to review in the future. She also stated that she would be attending a TIF Enterprise Zone meeting in May. Finally, she stated that the planning team from Northern Illinois University would be hosting a virtual action plan session in the future as well. The consent agenda included the approval of the fireworks date for June 27th at dusk, the approval of the sidewalk repair in front of the state bank, which had received a consensus for approval at the earlier meeting. Finding no other business, the council moved to adjourn at 7:37 p.m. The next article, Arcola City Council. Wages bumped up from 50 cents to $7 per hour by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council approved raises for all employees ranging from 50 cents per hour to $7 per hour. Leading the pack was Finance Human Resource Specialist Allison Wise, who received a $7 per hour raise. City Administrator Bill Wagoner received a $5 per hour raise. Chief of Police Nick Suiting received a $4 per hour raise. Executive Assistant to the Chief of Police Cindy Lamb, Community Development Specialist Hannah Myers, and Street Superintendent Paul Goodwin all received raises of $2 per hour. Cost of living adjustments were approved by the council, with full-time employees making $1 per hour more and part-time and seasonal workers making 50 cents per hour more. The council also approved the renewal of employee health insurance with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, along with vision, dental, life, and disability with Mutual of Omaha. Ordinance 25S3 was also passed, which is a loan application through the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. The council is asking for $3 million to replace their pump station and a water main near the school that has been causing issues. It's pretty good incentive right now, said Wagoner. James Young, who is the chair of the Advisory Board for Trust Appreciation Support with Kindness, TASC, to the Douglas County Health Department, addressed the council. TASC is a mentorship group for young people dealing with mental struggles. Young reported that 42% of 10th graders in the county felt sad and hopeless for 2 weeks or more, and 24% have seriously considered suicide. Young asked for the support of the City Council and Mayor and to make March 29th a mentorship day to garner support for the program. He addressed the Tuscola City Council last week. The next article, Arcola School Board. Group asks for junior high baseball and softball by David Porter. Freddie Moreno of Arcola Rec led a group last Wednesday asking the Arcola School Board to consider adding junior high baseball and softball. He said Arcola is the only school in the district that does not offer these sports at junior high level. Tuscola added them this school year. He provided detailed information about the number of kids participating in those sports through Arcola Rec. He noted that the school offered these sports, it would compete with Arcola Rec, particularly with soccer, but that's what the kids have asked for. A parent noted that Arcola has not been competitive at that level and said he thinks it's because rec coaches are volunteers with limited time for practices. Daily professional coaching would help, he suggested. Moreno's packet included information about other teams in the county, the distance to the various towns, and the number of games that would be expected. The school board took the information, but there was little discussion beyond the presentation. During the regular portion of the meeting, the board took the following action. Approved using life safety funds for asbestos removal. Approved a bid of $18,000 for a new sound equipment and installation, which does not include acoustic barriers. The equipment will be installed and tested before it is decided whether the acoustic barriers are needed. Tabled a vote on the acoustic sound barriers that would cost $19,000. Tabled the audit report that is not ready. Approved first reading of the Title IX policies. It approved field trips for the band and music department and junior high honor kids role. Approved a 5-year lease agreement with Watts Copies for student printers. The students will be able to print from their iPads. And approved an engineering agreement with Jim Crane for pavement work previously discussed. The rate is 5.5% of the project. During the administration reports, Kyle Shea, director of the student support, reported that the task mentorship program has been set up with positive results. He said the kids have expressed appreciation for the program. There are 3 mentors right now, and he said he would like to get to 7. Superintendent Tom Mulligan reported that conversations continue regarding the city's effort to expand its tax increment financing, TIF, district. It's been slow-moving, he said. Of particular interest to the school district is expanding housing. Mulligan said the Tabling Development, which is building new housing in front of Carriage Crossing, has commitments for its new units and already has a waiting list. Mulligan also asked the board to consider contributing to post-prom. He said it's a great event that gives kids a safe environment. He said the board contributed to the program a couple of years ago and suggested that the district cover any travel costs if the students want to go take a trip, perhaps to a trampoline facility. There was no vote, but the board members gave nods of approval. Following a closed session, the board approved the following resignations. Amber Behrens, elementary principal. Mayra Lyons, bilingual ESL. Courtney Wilhelm, preschool teacher. Malia Lester, social worker. Nancy Branson, early childhood special education teacher. The following hires were approved. Kaylee Conway, early childhood special education teacher. Bill Trinkle, day custodian. An unpaid leave of absence was approved for Mike Monahan. The next front page story, Tuscola Eyes Economic Growth Amid Potential Industrial Developments by Ben Crane. As Tuscola and Douglas County prepare for potential economic expansion, local officials are closely monitoring the potential arrival of Fufeng that could significantly impact the region. Chinese-owned Fufeng USA Incorporated is looking to build a $750 million corn wet milling plant in the United States with Tuscola as one of their options. Their search includes the site of the former Lyondell-Basell plant, which closed 3 years ago. With tax agreements secured and final decisions pending, the city and economic leaders are optimistic about the future while also bracing for the challenges that such a development could bring. Tuscola City Administrator Drew Howell confirmed that the tax assessment agreement tied to the project has been approved by all necessary taxing bodies, including with Parkland College Board, Garrett Township. This agreement is a key step in securing economic incentives for Fufeng. While the city of Tuscola is not directly overseeing the project, Howell acknowledged its potential benefits. It's a positive in terms of employment, and it's a positive in terms of reutilizing what we call a brownfield site, he said. That property was home to a lot of employees and investment for decades, so replacing that with something that contributes to the local economy is a good thing. Although no official timeline has been released, Hole noted that the discussions are ongoing and that developers remain engaged in planning efforts. One of the most pressing questions surrounding the industrial properties is their potential impact on employment, housing, and infrastructure in the community. While the total number of full-time jobs created may not match the peak employment figures of past industries, the immediate concern is the influx of temporary construction workers needed to build the facilities. If both projects, Cronus and Fufeng, move forward at the same time, we could see a significant short-term impact, Hole explained. We're talking about thousands of transient workers during construction, which would affect traffic, housing, and local services. Cronus Chemicals plans to build a fertilizer plant west of the Lyondell-Basell site. According to its website, the facility will produce 2,300 metric tons of anhydrous ammonia daily. The project has been in works for more than a decade. According to the company's website, a groundbreaking has been anticipated for the second half of 2024, That project would employ 200 full-time operators and up to 2,000 construction workers. Its completion date is projected to be 2028. Brian Moody, director of the Douglas County Economic Development Corporation, DCEDC, echoed Hull's comments, emphasizing the short-term needs of construction workers such as food, gas, and lodging will create demand on the local economy and must be prepared to meet. We're talking about times of having 500 to 1,000 people working on site, Moody said. That will lead to a lot of short-term needs, but one of the reasons we pursue these types of developments is the payroll impact is very important for local businesses. One of the challenges Tuscola and Douglas County face is ensuring adequate housing for potential new residents. While the local housing market is strong, it has not traditionally seen proactive recruitment or large-scale development efforts. That may change, Hull said, as discussions may have already started at the county level about strategies to accommodate anticipated growth. Moody highlighted the importance of enterprise zone amendments, which could provide incentives for residential development, including sales tax exemptions on building materials and property tax abatements for new construction. Most of the cities in the county are working aggressively on housing, Moody said. Arcola, Villa Grove, and Arthur have been particularly proactive, and we're starting to have conversations about how we can address the housing shortages if these projects materialize. While optimism is high, Tuscola is not the only community vying for industrial investment. Fufang has considered other sites, though officials are not privy to the final selection process. We know we're in competition, but we don't know exactly who all the finalists are, Moody said. We've done our part to ensure we meet the key requirements for site selection, including securing tax agreements and infrastructure readiness. Beyond the immediate benefits to Tuscola, local leaders see the broader economic potential for Douglas County. The presence of these industries could create a ripple effect, strengthening the local agricultural economy and attracting further investments. This isn't a high-tech project, it's corn milling, which is at the core of our largest industry, agriculture, Moody said. Fufang is making the decision to build the plant here, purchase the corn here, process it here, and sell it here. That keeps economic activity, payroll, and business expenses local, which benefits the entire county. As officials await final decision from investors, they remain committed to fostering a business-friendly environment that encourages sustainable economic development. We market regionally and sell locally, Moody said. We want to show positive momentum, attract young professionals, and demonstrate there's a reason to build a future here. With multiple projects on the horizon and regional collaboration at an all-time high, Douglas County finds itself at a pivotal moment. Whether or not these projects come to fruition, local leaders are positioning the community for growth, ensuring that infrastructure and resources are in place to seize future opportunities. In the last front page story, three candidates lay out their vision for Villa Grove in mayoral debate by Ben Crane. Three candidates for mayor of Villa Grove, Bruce Allen, Derek Rasmussen, and Dale Ewing, gathered for a mayoral debate hosted by the Villa Grove Chamber of Commerce. The event, which was also streamed live on Facebook, allowed residents to hear directly from the candidates about their priorities and plans for the city's future. Moderator Lon Tay led the discussion, posing questions that covered a range of topics, including city development, fiscal responsibility, infrastructure, and community engagement. Each candidate had the opportunity to present their perspectives and outline their vision for Villa Grove. In his opening statement, Allen, a lifelong Villa Grove resident and former alderman, stressed his deep commitment to the community. "I care about the town. It's the people, not just the infrastructure, that make Villa Grove great," he said. He highlighted his background in business ownership and city governance, stating that his concern lies not in just infrastructure, but in the people who make up the town. Rasmussen, who has served as a firefighter and EMT, emphasized his dedication to all age groups in the community. "I want a chance to try and look out for everyone in the community and progress Villa Grove a little bit," he said, expressing his desire to advocate for all residents regardless of their background and to foster responsible growth. Ewing, also a longtime resident, underscored his belief in transparency and direct democracy. "If I'm voted in, I'm going to make sure that everyone gets a say, gets to talk to me," he said. "The town belongs to its people." He vowed to ensure that the voices of Villa Grove citizens will be heard and respected in decision-making processes. When asked about their vision for the future of Villa Grove, the candidates expressed differing priorities. Allen conveyed confidence in the city's current direction, but stressed the need for improvements in parks and youth engagement programs. "What can we do for our youths?" he asked. "I want to promote that and get something going for them to be involved in." Rasmussen echoed similar sentiments, emphasizing the importance of controlled growth that maintains the city's character while increasing revenue. We have to progress some, he said. Nobody wants to get big, but we do need to bring in tax revenue in a way that doesn't negatively impact the community. Ewing, however, focused on financial stability, asserting that Villagrove must address its debt before embarking on new projects. We need to get financially back in some sort of stabilization, he said. If you're behind the eight ball and struggling to make payments, you can't progress. Each candidate also shared how they would remain accessible to residents. Ewing said he would be available by phone and through personal interactions within the community. I'm out walking every day and I talk to people, he said. Allen explained that while he would make himself available for discussions, concern should first be directed to the department heads through the appropriate chain of command. You can call me with a concern, but I'm not going to undercut department heads who have a plan in place, he stated. Rasmussen pledged to maintain open lines of communication with residents and business owners. People call me all the time, stop me out and about. I support local business and I'm always in conversation when I'm out, he said. Supporting local businesses emerged as a key issue in the debate. Allen pointed to existing financial resources such as the tax increment financing, TIF funds, that business owners can use for improvements. Rasmussen emphasized the importance of leading by example, pledging to shop locally and encourage others to do the same. Ewing suggested creating a public suggestion box where business owners could voice their concerns and ideas for growth. We need to have this conversation, but it can't just stop with businesses, Ewing said. Everybody in this town has input and they deserve to be heard. Revitalizing downtown Villagrove was another prominent topic. Allen discussed the existing Main Street redevelopment plan that was delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We have a plan in place and we just need to see it through, he said. Rasmussen argued that filling vacant storefronts could take priority over cosmetic upgrades. We need to make sure businesses want to come and can sustain themselves first, he said. Ewing stressed the importance of attracting more jobs to the city. If we could get more businesses on Main Street, we could possibly have additional fire protection and other benefits, he noted. Infrastructure and outdoor recreation also came up in the discussion. The candidates agreed on the importance of improving John Leon Park and other public spaces. Allen outlined plans already underway, including clearing overgrown areas and adding new floating docks. They're working on the banks, getting things cleared, improving safety, he said. Rasmussen proposed stocking a new reservoir with more fish to attract visitors and encourage outdoor recreation. I'd even be willing to chip in and buy some myself, he said. Ewing recalled past initiatives to stock fish and called for greater community involvement. Instead of complaining about how an unkept yard, why not offer to mow it? That's what a small town does, he suggested. The conversation eventually turned to the challenges posed by the railroad, a long-standing issue in Villagrove. Allen explained that the city once had the option to relocate the train tracks, but had chosen not to pursue it. In 1976, the city had the option to move the depot 2 miles out of town, he said. All they had to do was run water and sewer to the railroad, and it was willing to move, but the city said no. Rasmussen noted that law enforcement and emergency responders can request rail operators to move trains when necessary. We can contact them and ask, but they don't always respond, he said. Ewing proposed working with the county to improve alternative routes around the block crossings. It would be nice if we could work with the county to get some better roads around town, he suggested. Addressing the city's financial situation, Allen and Rasmussen both expressed confidence in Villagrove's current budget management. They praised department heads for being fiscally responsible and making financial requests. We've got good people managing things. They don't ask for things we can't afford, Allen said. Ewing, however, maintained that reducing the city's debt should be the primary focus before any large-scale projects are undertaken. If you don't budget, you don't get to stay there, he said. We have to be able to say no sometimes. As the debate neared its conclusion, the candidates were asked what they hoped to be remembered for if elected. Ewing stated that his principal goal was to restore democracy and ensure that residents have a direct say in important decisions. I want democracy back, he said. Too many things have been done away without a vote. Allen said he simply wanted to be remembered as someone who cared deeply about Villagrove and its people. I just want people to say he cared, he said. Rasmussen spoke about leaving a lasting positive impact, particularly on the younger generation. I want the folds of my flag to tell a story of the positive influence I had on people, he said. We'll move now to the obituaries. Donna Lee Cole, 91 of Arthur, formerly of Rantoul, passed away at 11:13 p.m. on Friday, October 25th, 2024, at Willow Breeze Hospice House in Mattoon. Memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 29th, at the Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street, Arcola. Pastor Danny Powell will officiate. Burial will follow in the Arcola Cemetery. Nancy L. Wagoner, 69, of Arcola, passed away peacefully on the evening of Thursday, March 13, 2025, at Carriage Crossing in Arcola, surrounded by loved ones. Funeral services were Tuesday, March 18, at Schrader Funeral Home in Arcola. Betty Nell Dodd DeVore, 93, of Hammond, passed away on Monday, March 10, 2025, at Arthur Home in Arthur. Funeral services were held Thursday, March 13th at the Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home at Wood, with Danny Powell and Linda Kane officiating. Burial followed at the Hammond Cemetery, rural Hammond. Visitation was held prior to the service. Norman Ellerbush, 86, of Metropolis, formerly of Tuscola, passed away on Monday, March 10, 2025 at Mercy Health, Paducah. Funeral services were held Thursday, March 13th at the Atkins Farmer Loftus McGinnis Funeral Home, with the Reverend Timothy Bean officiating. Burial followed at the St. John Lutheran Cemetery. Visitation was held Thursday, March 13th at the funeral home. Christopher G. Gordon, 52, of Newman, passed away at Carl Hospital on Sunday, March 19th, 2025, with his loving family by his side. Visitation was held Sunday, March 16th at Joins Funeral Home in Newman. Funeral services were held Monday, March 17th, with Jared Pollock officiating, also at the funeral home. Burial followed at the Newman Cemetery. Martha S. Otto Plank, 79, of Arthur, passed away at 10:42 a.m. on Wednesday, March 12, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Saturday, March 15th at the HCK West Building in rural Arthur. Bishop Larry Diener officiated. Burial followed at the Miller Cemetery in rural Arcola. Visitation was held Thursday, March 13th and Friday, March 14th at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Antoinette M. Cassano, 60, of Villa Grove, passed away on Sunday, March 9, 2025, at her home in Villa Grove. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, March 22nd, at the First Christian Church in Villa Grove. Funeral services will follow immediately, also at the church. Pastor Mike Zylstra will be officiating. Byron Craig Muncy, 68, of Carmi, formerly of Tuscola, passed away at Hamilton Memorial Hospital District, McLeansboro, on Sunday, March 9th, 2025, following a heart attack. The family is planning a private burial. Online condolences may be shared by Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home. Bonnie Jean Montcalm Lowhead, 93, of Mahomet, passed away on March 12, 2025 at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. There will be no visitation or funeral services. Cremation will be performed and her ash will be buried with her dear departed husband, Denny L. Lawhead, in Grandview Memorial Gardens, Champaign. Polly Joan Hines, 94, of Tavernier, Florida, formerly of Humboldt, died at 11:30 p.m. Friday, March 7, 2025, at the Oasis of the Keys in Tavernier. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, March 20th, at Schrader Funeral Home, 204 North Locust Street, Arcola, with visitation 1 hour prior to the service. Burial will be in the Humboldt Cemetery. Online condolences can be shared via www.hillegasfuneralhome.com. And there's an article, Four Candidates Seek Seats at the Arthur Village Board, by Mike Hilgenberg. Mike Hilgenberg, age 78, occupation, retired farmer, education, business administration degree from Eastern Illinois University, 12 credits towards master degree at Southern Illinois University, 2 children. He's seeking a position of trustee. What are your experiences and skills that will make you a good team player on the village board? Currently, I'm a village trustee and have been active, a village board treasurer, and I plan ahead to prepare for meetings. The records will show that I have good attendance and rarely miss a meeting. In addition, I have a great deal of experience serving on various other boards through the years. For 20 years, I served on the Arthur CUSD No. 306 school board and served as president for 6 of those years. I've also served on agriculture boards, including the OCAW grain board. For 15 years, I was elected the Douglas County ASCS board. Prior to moving to Arthur, I served as an MP in the U.S. Army, 1969 to 71, and held a position as an Illinois tax auditor. How would you assess the business economy of Arthur? Arthur business economy is strong, but we must always keep working to strengthen and grow on local economy. We're fortunate to have hardworking entrepreneurs and innovative businesses in our community, and I have watched the economy grow since we moved here in the 1970s. My wife and I are year-round residents of Arthur and support our schools and businesses by shopping locally and attending local events, festivals, and fundraisers. What do you think are the major staffing challenges that the village faces in attracting and retaining public works and public police personnel? The staffing challenges here are those that are faced by many other communities of our size. We cast a wide net in advertising for the best possible people. We try to attract people by recruiting through trade journals, newspapers, and word of mouth to hire people that have the skills we need and be an asset to the community. Village makes every effort to offer competitive salary and benefits to employees and maintain a professional work environment. We've been very fortunate to attract excellent people to work for the city. The main challenge in retaining our talent is that many communities are in position to offer higher salaries. We're trying to address that through our budgetary process, but it remains a challenge. Arthur is fortunate that the community seldom has to deal with extremely difficult or prevalent social issues, but do you feel that there are social issues that the Village Board has not dealt with adequately? There are many kinds of social issues facing us every day. On the Village Board, we address social issues when they are raised and brought to our attention. Each concern brought forth by resident is given serious consideration at regular meetings, which are open to the public. We often have to seek more information before weighing concerns with possible solutions. We make every effort to address the issue thoroughly and adequately, but of course there is always room for improvement. I would encourage any resident with social issues concerns to bring them to the attention of me or any other village trustee. What do you think the major infrastructure challenges for the Village of Arthur will need to address over the next 10 years, and how can they be adequately financed? Some of the infrastructure challenges that Arthur faces are water, sewer, and streets. We've made great strides in upgrading our water treatment without having to sell the operation to an outside company. The Water Department recently submitted a comprehensive 5-year plan outlining the next step the city needs to consider in continuing to upgrade our water and sewer systems. The pipes throughout much of the city are aging, and we need to prepare for repairs and replacement in certain sections. This detailed report provides the opportunity to plan ahead, use taxpayer money wisely, apply for state and federal grants, and prepare a budget that can address the village's needs. And what is your present past community involvement in Arthur? My wife Cheryl and I moved to Arthur in 1974. We raised our son Greg and our daughter Kara in this community and were very active in church and school events. The early years, I was a founding member of the Arthur Lions Club and active in other local organizations. Now that our children are grown, I've been active in the Village Board for several years and have become involved in church activities. We continue to be proud to call Arthur our home. Next candidate is Jim Fleming, age 60, occupation agribusiness personnel consultant, education agriculture production, Lakeland College, no children, office sought trustee. What are your experiences and skills that will help make you a good team player in the Village Board? I'm running for a second term for the Village Board. During my first term, I took online training courses to learn what is expected of trustee and how the board functions. I have taken training courses to learn about FOIA and how it utilized at the local level. As a trustee, I've learned that you should not have a personal agenda, an axe to grind. The body is to govern and do what is best for the village and its citizens. The trustees discuss, opinions are presented, and a vote is taken. The board is united after the vote is taken. I respect my fellow trustees and mayor. I may not always agree, but I respect them and their opinion. It is disrespectful to speak poorly of other trustees, mayor, or our city employees. They're doing their best for the village. Over the course of my career, I've served on boards, organizations, and I enjoy meeting challenges and working to solve these challenges. Will you commit to attending Village Board regular and committee meetings, as well as doing the prep work for those meetings? I believe serving as a trustee comes with a responsibility to serve the citizens of the village. I take it seriously and am committed to the role. As a trustee, I've not missed a Village Board meeting. I serve on the Streets and Alleys Committee and Phronomic Development and a Tourism Committee and have not missed any of these meetings. Prior to each meeting, we receive meeting packets. I read through those and I am prepared when it comes time to discuss and vote on an issue. If I'm not familiar with an issue, I ask questions and learn. How would you assess the business economy of Arthur? Is it healthy or does it need help? When compared to other communities of our size, Arthur is fortunate. We have the largest employer in Douglas County and the largest employer in Moultrie County. We nearly double our population every day, and our Amish businesses are growing and are producing products that go around the world. I'm happy to see the next generation stepping up at Easy Trail and a new owner for Randall's Flower Shop. Rest in Pizza and Max have opened to bring people to town to eat. I'm happy that our TIF monies have assisted the projects at Vine in Illinois and are willing to help rejuvenate our downtown landscape. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerking saying goodbye and see you again next week.